gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' feel it and you gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it.
Here comes the, here comes the, here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like
that. Here comes the.
Hey everybody, welcome to This Week in the NFL, here for the 2020 season. Haven't talked to you guys in a long time. This is your host, the Cowboy, joined by our continuation of our three-man booth from last year, my two retired esteemed colleagues, John D'Amato, Cowboy Senior. John, how are you doing, man? How was the summer?
The summer was great. Still got another few weeks of it. It was beautiful, and it's great to be the first show, the first sports show on the on our esteemed new network, the North-South Connection. It's the first sports show, and for now it's the only one, but it'll be the best one no matter what, even if they add 100 more.
That's true. When you start with perfection, there's really nowhere to go, you know, but down. So I could see why they wouldn't have additional sports shows on the sport North-South Connection. Senior, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Cowboy. Happy to be here. Happy to have football here sneaking right up on us. Here it is, bang. No preseason, no nothing to lead us into it. It's just here, and it's pretty exciting, especially with the void we've had for quite a while in sports besides the NBA being really good. So, yep, I'm always psyched for football.
Same here, Senior. Now, John alluded to this, but welcome to This Week in the NFL on our new home, the North-South Connection Podcast Network. Home to, from Montreal to Memphis, second print comics podcast, and my personal favorite, Extreme Three-Way Dance, starring John D'Amato. So check us out and check out all the other great stuff at the North-South Connection feed. We're happy to be here on this new network, and we appreciate them having us. With that said, guys, it's football time, baby. As Senior spoke about, it certainly has been there's been a lot that has happened in the world since we've last spoken. I looked on my Skype before the call here and before the show, and it looks like the last time that we had a show was February. I think I just bought my first thing of hand sanitizer, saying, "Hey, I don't know what this thing is, this coronavirus, but better safe than sorry. I'll need to have some hand sanitizer." And boy, has it changed things. It's been crazy. Been a crazy 6 months. I certainly appreciate some things more. Haven't been, John. This is more of a big deal for John than for me, but haven't been to a live event in what seems like forever. As Senior mentioned, the NBA's been really good on the television. The UFC's been really good on television. Major League Baseball, eh. And maybe that's coming from the place of the Red Sox are a putrid train wreck, but I haven't enjoyed it that much. But I think the whole country is really, really looking forward to football and hoping that they can pull this thing off without a hitch. It's definitely a little more challenging than, you know, obviously NBA kind of looks like the gold standard, right, with the bubble. MLB kind of on the other side of that coin with having a number of issues due to the virus. Football seems to kind of land somewhere in the middle with the fact that there's so many guys on the team, but we haven't had that many players pop, so hopefully it's not a huge issue. But I wanted to open the floor to you guys. That's kind of the first thing I wanted to talk about. Senior mentioned no preseason. That's a big thing. But just in general, John, how do you think COVID-19 and how it's made things different is going to impact the NFL?
Well, there's about 100 things we could talk about, but the thing that sticks out is going to be there's really not going to be much of a home field advantage, although I'm not 100%, so if I make a mistake, somebody either correct me, or if nobody catches it, you know, I apologize to the audience, but I'm trying to keep up with, like, what fans, like for instance, Kansas City, this first game, they're going to have a 20% capacity, they have fans allowed, I believe, so there'll be some type of home field advantage, right?
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure. I know it's a stadium by stadium thing, and I don't think anyone's going to be over like 20 to 25%, at least initially.
I'm saying some won't have fans at all. But I'm pretty sure that I think Kansas City is going to be okay for the first game. So I believe some people already complain. Some teams already complain about it. That it's unfair that some teams are going to have some fans and some aren't, so that's going to be an ongoing issue there. But I didn't really miss the exhibition season that much, because it's become kind of a farce the last few years. Nobody wants to play anybody anymore in fear of getting hurt. It's exhibition is really just to fill like those last 10 roster spots where you see the surprises, and where once in a while you get like a Victor Cruz, an undrafted guy, you know, becomes a star. There's a lot of guys like that, but That was the only thing that I think they're going to be missing by not having an exhibition, because the games have really been horrific. I know a lot of people get up for it saying, oh, the first exhibition game, August 1st. But then you watch it for like 30 seconds, and it's just terrible football. So,
it's true.
So I don't really think that's a factor. But also, it's going to be hard for new coaches, for a lot of first-year coaches. My Giants have a first-year coach that Just to walk in under these situations, as you saw, like on Hard Knocks, they spent like out of the hour, they spent like 50 minutes of it talking about, like, you know, COVID precautions and stuff, instead of talking about the playbook and, you know, what player is going to make the team. So in a way that might, all the coaches are kind of even in that sense. So even somebody as experienced like a Belichick that's had a lot of wins, he's never dealt with anything like this before. So all the coaches are like on equal ground as far as dealing with that.
Yeah, no, agreed. Agreed. I agree with you on the preseason that I think it's more of an impact, like you said, John, on how they're practicing and stuff like that. The preseason games themselves were essentially like the football game that I play in every year if we wore like real NFL jerseys. Like, that was about the quality of play.
Yeah. And especially for 10-year veterans, they don't need it. Like Michael Strahan, his last year, he skipped the preseason, and he just walked right in, and, you know, he played as well as ever. And there's a lot of examples like that. The guys, the 10-year pros don't need it. It's mostly for the fringe guys.
Yeah, and so senior, one of the things that we're going to talk about a little later is kind of teams that have, you know, guys that have switched teams, new. You know, Tampa Bay is a great example, right? We have a Brady switched over there. And we have, you know, a number of guys have moved teams. Do you think the lack of a preseason and kind of the drama that John's talking about around COVID favors a team that has some consistency in personnel and coaching from last year versus a team that's a bunch of new guys and maybe a new coach trying to get on the same page?
You definitely have to think there's a little bit of a disadvantage there. I mean, if you want to talk about Tampa Bay as that's obviously the prime example. I think you probably would have seen that first unit get more reps in the preseason than a team that's, you know, bringing back the same basic core group. You would have had, you know, Tom play a little more with Evans and Godwin to try and develop a little bit of a rapport, a little bit of connection. I know they can do it in practice, but I think they would have got more. That you would definitely give them some more reps. Not that the preseason is a great thing, but that would have been maybe a more interesting team to watch in the preseason, because they might have played together for a quarter for most of the games. Just to let them get a feel for each other. That's not just in practice. That's sure. Probably about it. Yeah, it's probably a little bit of a disadvantage with teams that are a really new group, because they don't have that preseason to really try to get together. Or Cam with the Patriots. You know, there's a lot of examples, but you would have probably liked to have seen them on the field together in uniform against another team before opening day, and that's not going to happen. So you might see a team like that take a little longer to gel than they would have if this was a normal year. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I tend to agree there that you could see some of them have slow starts. I guess the other side to that coin is, you know, when you have a veteran like Tampa specifically, you know, obviously Brady is very much a pro's pro. So if anyone is going to be ready, it's probably him. But should be very interesting. And I don't know about you guys, but I just hope they make it through the season and there's not any big issues and we don't have guys getting sick left and right and having, you know, it's just such a crazy time we're living in here. And we really just want everybody to stay safe. Am I right?
Yeah, definitely. Another thing I want to hit on, which was overshadowed by COVID, was we got the extra playoff team this year, and with the only the one seed getting that bye. So that's going to make a big difference, and especially when it comes to week 17, 18, where usually in the past teams had a division clinched, and that last game was kind of a joke. But now with only one team getting a bye, the number one, that last week is going to be more intense. And plus, there's going to be a lot more teams alive, obviously, with the extra playoff spot.
And it makes the one seed so big, so big. Yeah. I mean, that's huge.
And also, we get that first week of playoffs with an extra game with six games instead of the four. That first week is great as it is, and they just made it that much greater. Where we're going to get six playoff games.
Yeah, and I mean, depending on where we're at with things, I mean, there is at least a somewhat of a possibility that they could be at least somewhere near normal at that point. I know there's a possibility it could be the other way, too, but we could have, like, regular playoff football, which would be fantastic. So, moving on to the games and the teams and some of the bigger storylines of the offseason. I guess the first one we talked about a little bit, but I'd like to dive a little deeper. Obviously, when, you know, the greatest, I guess arguably, right, but that's not the argument we're going to have. Greatest player in NFL history, certainly the most accomplished player in NFL history, switches teams. It's a big deal. When that team goes out and surrounds that player with just what seems to be an embarrassment of riches on the offensive end, it becomes a bigger deal. So obviously I'm talking about Tom Brady. Shockingly to me, and I mean, it's kind of as a Patriots fan, I don't love it, but shockingly to me, Tom Brady moved on to Tampa Bay. Yeah, I mean, if anyone earned the right to do that, by all means, go ahead, Tom. But with the offense around him, I mean, with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, three tight ends, you know, Gronk, O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate, and then three real running backs, too, with Fournette, Ronald Jones, and LeSean McCoy, or whatever's left of LeSean McCoy. It's really, like, they're, at least at the skill position, I mean, they look really, really loaded. But they play in a pretty difficult division in a difficult conference. So I'm going to go to you first, John. Where do you see the ceiling for this team? What do you kind of think's going to happen with the Bucks?
Oh, the ceiling is if everything gels, and plus their defense last year was improved. They did give up a lot of points, but that was because of a lot of them were off of turnovers. So their defense was improved. Their ceiling is as far as they go, the Super Bowl. That's if everything breaks right, you know, stays healthy, which you could say that about every team. Is health is a big thing. But Brady's got that veteran presence where they could get it done right away. Obviously, he took to it, and he was out there even shirking regulations by having gatherings and throwing to receivers. So they could go as far as the Super Bowl, but also things could go the other way too. Injuries, maybe the defense isn't as solid as it was. Maybe it wasn't just all because of their quarterback throwing turnovers. Maybe the defense is bad and can't and can't carry a team to the postseason. So we got to see. It's going to be interesting, though. We're going to see a lot of their games, whether you have DirecTV or not. They're going to be all over your TV screen.
It's a good point. Senior, it's going to happen at one point or another. So as the oldest guy on the podcast, I'm going to talk to you. What do you think it's possible that, I mean, the guy's 43 years old, right? That's 2 years older than me. Do you think it's possible he falls off a cliff and this is a total disaster? Or, I mean, do you think he's better than ever? No, maybe not better than ever, but like Pro Bowl caliber could lead him to a 14-2 record? Or do you feel like the truth somewhere in the middle there?
Well, I would never want to say that Tom Brady can't do something. Obviously, maybe a huge fan, being, you know, we're blessed to have had him all these years in New England, but he's not a guy that you tell can't do something. And no, I'm expecting him to have a big year. I mean, let's face it, nobody follows the Patriots more closely than you and I, Cowboy. And I mean, they find ways to win. They're unbelievable. Let's face it, though, they haven't exactly surrounded him with a great group of skilled players for a number of years now, you know, for the last few years, really. You know, I mean, if he didn't have Gronk, Edelman, you know, but I mean, it's not this kind of a group of dynamic receivers, you know, maybe since he's had Randy, you know, but to have this big of a group around him, you know, and their offensive line is very adequate. It's not great, but it's not this offensive line that's a sieve. I think he's going to do really well. I don't think he's ready to fall off any cliff. He's unbelievable, and he's in a great situation. He's to me, he's going to produce with that offense at least as much as Jameis did, and he's not going to throw 30 picks. In fact, he might not even throw 10 picks. So you know, they're going to be a really good offense, and Tom's going to do really well. As much as we say, a lot of people have heard say, well, he failed last year and the Patriot offense was bad, but I never thought it was him. If you saw like him having no arm strength, I didn't see any change in his arm strength last year.
No.
He's still accurate. He just didn't. He had receivers that got 0-0-0 separation, where he had to absolutely thread a needle almost every time he tried to complete a ball. Where here, with all those weapons, somebody's going to be open, and Tom's pretty smart at reading defenses. And we always used to say his favorite receiver is the open receiver, and he's going to have some there. So I see him having a really good year.
Yeah.
Whether they're a Super Bowl team or not, I don't know. But I think he's going to be a top five or six quarterback. And I don't think that's stretching it at all. Not with that group around him. And it's going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, so, Jameis.
You know, I don't see. I know the cliff will come someday. But, you know, like it was predicted 4 or 5 years ago. But it's not here yet. So
Max Kellerman's going to be right one of these years.
Yeah.
He keeps saying it. But the
he's got to say, I said it. Yeah.
So, Jameis, I mean, to say he'll produce as much as Jameis, I mean, if you take out the interceptions, I mean, Jameis had a ridiculous, I mean, a really ridiculous year. Last year, I mean, I think, but a lot, some of the yardage and stuff, I think, was a product of the turnovers because they had to play from behind a lot. My take on Tom is that I don't think he is, I mean, obviously at his age, he's not the guy that he was in 2007, 2008. He's just not.
No.
That guy, you could surround him with just about anybody, and he could lead you to or near a Super Bowl. I mean, the team they beat, the Chargers, the LaDainian Tomlinson Chargers in San Diego with me and D'Amato as the 1 and 2 receiver. There's Rashe Caldwell and Jabbar Gaffney. Like that guy,
really?
That guy's not around anymore. He needs.
He doesn't have to be that guy.
He needs help.
Right?
But in Tampa, I agree with you that he does. He has very much so has that help, and I think they'll have a good year, and I think he's going to have a good year. So.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, not so. Kind of the counter storyline to that is the Patriots coming off a, you know, a season where they started like gangbusters last year and looked incredible, at least on the defensive end. Offensively, kind of a train wreck all season. They closed horribly, and we all know they lost in the first round of the playoffs. The Patriots bring Cam Newton in for, you know, a hot, you know, the cost of a hot dog and a beer at Foxborough Stadium, and by every account that you hear, he looks healthy. He's taking a leadership role on the team, and if he's the real Cam Newton, or any, I mean, if he's 80% of the real Cam Newton, the MVP Cam Newton, especially given their lack of, they didn't really do anything to address the skill position guys that have been a problem. In fact, they released the guy they traded a second round pick for, which is always tough, in Mohamed Sanu. But I think having Newton with that added dimension of being able to run is like a big thing when you don't have good skill position guys. He never had real good skill position guys in Carolina and made some guys who are not that good look pretty good. So, John, as the unbiased guy in the room here, how do you see Cam in New England playing out? You think he's just going to go down again like he's damaged goods at this point? Or do you think there's a career renaissance here, where him and Belichick team up for the year in a, you know, mutually beneficial relationship before Cam moves on with a big deal somewhere else?
I'm gonna get a lot of crap. I'm not sucking up to the host, but I'm pretty high on the Pats keeping it going with Cam. I've been reading the reports too that he looks good, although there's a warning to that. You never know how it's gonna happen, even though he's the one that usually delivers the punishment. But how's he going to take those first couple licks? He hasn't really been hit in a couple years. So probably the first couple games back, he'll be a little rusty. But I think Cam's on a mission. He's been working out. He's got something to prove. He wants to stick it to Carolina, who pretty much he took them to a Super Bowl, and he was a big hero there. And they pretty much just discarded him like he was you know, garbage, and he's going to have something to prove. And what better place to prove it under one of the greatest coaches of all time and a damn good offensive coordinator. So, and as far as the weapons hold up, N'Keal Harry was a first-round draft pick. So sometimes it takes receivers a couple of years to shine, and we'll see if he goes bust or if maybe he'll emerge.
Yeah, well, I made this point to Senior when I saw him earlier that Cam was really good with another kind of guy who's similar to Harry, kind of a big guy who's not that fast, and Benjamin. Benjamin had a number of good years with Newton. So I'm with you, John. I think the guy's got something to prove. And I know the health is a question mark, but if he stays healthy, I would say watch out, because I think the offense may – and not saying that Cam's a better quarterback than Brady, but – Given the lack of talent around him, that added dimension of running, and then the Patriots had some issues at the goal line last year, and Cam's always been one of the best goal line backs in the NFL. I think he can really, really help them. Senior, what are your thoughts?
I just wanted to expand first. I'll talk about Cam after, but I want to expand on the Harry thing. I think, you know, as great and the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom is, one of the things, especially as he got more and more of it, becoming later in his years, becoming more of a veteran. Basically, if you a lot of receivers had trouble earning Tom's trust. And basically, if they didn't earn his trust in practice and everything else, he basically didn't throw him the ball much during the games. And Harry was in that position, I think. And I think he must have feel like he has a new lease on life. He must feel really good about, okay, well, now I don't have to, I'm not up against it, going right out of the chute, going into camp where I know my quarterback just doesn't trust me to throw me the ball. And hopefully that worked out where him and Cam develop a rapport. I think that that could be a really good thing for Harry. No, Cam, a lot of Patriots fans I knew around here, a lot of people when we signed them told me they weren't happy, that that's not the Patriot kind of guy, that he's all about himself. You know, they see the guy in the interviews with the crazy hats on and the clothes, and they think he's all about him, and they just read into that, that he's just this cocky guy that's not team-oriented. And now all we're hearing is Bill saying, nobody works harder than Cam. He's the first guy here. He's leading by example. The team votes him team captain. All the guys are saying he's a leader, hard worker. Well, maybe you shouldn't read so much into the image of this guy. You know, read so much of this guy's a cocky guy because he dresses fancier and while looking for the interviews and all that. Because guess what? I don't care how talented you are. You don't win the MVP of the NFL if you're not a hard worker. I don't think you win the MVP of the NFL as a quarterback if you're not a leader. So I think we should have known he had those qualities. And I think his lack of success the last few years was he just wasn't healthy. So the whole key is if Cam is really healthy, man, it's a great thing. And as a personal Patriot supporter, I mean, we lost Tom. Gronk walks away, retires. Everything, the world was collapsing all around us. Stidham was going to be our quarterback. They were, you know, we don't have skill players. We got a great defense, you could say. And then all of a sudden, the evil genius for minimum salary, nothing more guaranteed, brings in Superman, and we all have hope again. And it's a really nice feeling. So if he's healthy, I think the Patriots really got something done. It's making this season really fun to watch. It's gonna be so much fun to watch both of those stories unfold. Tom with the Bucks, Cam with the Patriots. It's gonna be a blast to watch. And if things work out, they could both be very successful, and that would be a really nice story.
Just there's a history of guys that, you know, might have had attitude problems that get it together with the Pats, like Randy Moss and
Corey
what's
Dillon.
Also, running back from the Steelers. No, him too, but the running back from the Steelers, the name escapes me. The latest running back he had, the name escapes me. Jeez, it escapes everybody.
You know,
okay, we're a little rusty.
Yeah. That got pulled over for smoking weed when he was with the Steelers.
Oh, LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount, yeah.
Thank you, yes. Yeah. So there's a history there with malcontents that get it together under the evil genius.
I think it's kind of known amongst the players that the Patriots can sort of be the last house on the block for
you.
When guys
want to win, they put it together for a year or two.
And Bill has the cachet to bring. As soon as he signs a guy, I think guys know, okay, if I'm going to go over there, I got to kind of do things.
Yeah, and I don't know that Newton was ever really a malcontent per se, right? I guess there's the stuff where he was pouting on the sidelines and things like that, but in general, I think he always, I mean, he played his ass off, and he cared. He always cared. So I think those, you know, those Patriot fans you talk to, Senior, I think were just a little misinformed. So the next big storyline, guys, is, you know, you would think that this would have been the first storyline, but with Brady changing teams and Newton, yada yada, it probably isn't. But the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, after coming off very impressive, very fun Super Bowl run for their encore, we know how difficult it is to repeat. They are the odds-on favorite to repeat. How do you guys feel about the Chiefs? Do you think it's a run through the league like crazy, or something more measured than that? You know, expectations are very, very high for Mahomes, big favorite to win MVP, and very, very high for the Chiefs in general. Their division does not exactly look stacked. So what do you guys think? Senior, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, you look at it, and this is going to be a really hard team to beat, with a quarterback who can do things that we've never seen a guy do before. And, you know, we think Tom's got some toys. He's got all kinds of speed over there with Tyreek and Hardman and Kelsey, maybe either the first or second best pass-receiving tight end in the league. Okay, I mean, we're counting on a rookie at running back, Edward Solaire, but he's in a nice position being in that offense. I mean, once Mahomes came back from his injury last year, they were unstoppable. And their defense is good enough to support that offense, that's for sure. So, I mean, I'm not going to give you my pick yet, but they're obviously going to be a hard team to pick against. The defending champion usually is, and that offense especially looks like an absolute machine, and he's unbelievable. I mean, he's just so much fun to watch. You know, the things he does with his legs and with that arm, throwing from all these odd angles and throwing the ball across the field and throwing no-look passes, whatever. He's not only great, he's extremely entertaining. So, yeah, I mean, on paper, you would think that they're going to walk right through the league and win another Super Bowl. Of course, it's never really that easy. You know, one injury could change everything, but I mean, if you're going to make predictions, you can't predict based on injuries. They don't have a huge injury history. So if you ask, should they look like they're going to, obviously they're going to roll through the division. They're going to be in the playoffs. They'll have a very good chance of being the team that gets that bye, and they're going to be really hard to beat. Kind of, I couldn't sit here and tell you I see a team that I think is better than them. So, Yeah, they're a machine. They're the real deal. Somebody's going to have to do something really special to stop them if an injury doesn't.
Counterpoint.
Never know. It's football. In the playoffs, one game, you can lose.
Counterpoint from the Cowboy.
Yo,
this is a team.
Go Cowboy.
This is a team that, in their last three games, faced double-digit deficits in every single game, right? 24-0 to Houston. 17-7 to Tennessee, if memory serves, and they were down 10 in the Super Bowl with what, 5 minutes left in the game. So for an unstoppable juggernaut, they sure do like to make it interesting. That's my
counterpoint to that is one of our offense could have won those three games. You know, the offense is unbelievable.
Agreed. Agreed. The offense is unbelievable.
You can outplay him three quarters and lose.
But how long can you live on that knife's edge? Right? So what they did, and I think, and I'm gonna take maybe a little bit of a D'Amato stance here, right? And I mean, maybe John thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl. I don't know. But I think this might be the best fantasy team that we've seen since the Rams, right? The greatest show on turf, or maybe the 07 Pats, right? From a fantasy perspective. And I think that clouds people's judgment a little bit. The team really should have lost all three of those games, right? I mean, Tennessee is the one that maybe Tennessee didn't give it away. But, I mean, Houston, you're up 24-0 in a playoff game. You win that game. They gave it away. And the Niners gave the Super Bowl away. But between giving up that fourth, that long play to Hill on what is 3rd and 15 that kept the Chiefs alive, to Garoppolo just missing a wide-open Emmanuel Sanders, the Niners gave that game away. And I don't see I looking at the Chiefs, I see a team that's going to score a ton of points, that's going to give up a ton of points, and is not going to be 15-1 or anything like that. John, what do you think? Me and Senior are on kind of opposite sides of this, so you need to be the rational guy. Tell us about what they got in the trenches.
I don't know about the rational. You guys both make good points, so I hate to be kind of neutral, but that's kind of where I'm in. I see them just like you said. They didn't dominate, so it wasn't like a total domination where they destroyed teams. But as far as Senior was saying, that you as long as you got Mahomes and they got their return in 20 out of 22 starters. And their defense was much improved, and there's not a lot of pressure on that defense. The defense goes out there saying, all we got to do is make two or three stops, and we're going to win the game because we have an MVP quarterback. So I'm looking at if they pretty much set themselves up for, I'm not going to say for like a Patriot type run, but for like the next 10 years, they're going to be contenders. And especially with the Mahomes contract, although it's an incredible amount of money, it sticks out to $500 million or whatever the max deal, but he did it in a way where he always gives them room to add a couple pieces where he didn't take the maximum money, and especially with the cap is going to keep going up. He wants to be like Brady, like where they win more than one. He wants multiple Super Bowls. So he structured the contract so where they could add pieces, where he's not back there alone every year.
Yep.
You're not going to win it every year, but they're going to be contenders for the next 10 years, and they're maybe not heavy favorites, but they're definitely favorites to repeat this year.
Agreed, and then they should be favorites. But the only thing I was saying is it's. I don't think they're head and shoulders above anybody. I mean, they can go out there and lose to anybody, right? I mean,
oh, agreed,
as proven. All right. So, yes. Talking about when we're in the AFC, the next big storyline in the AFC is who a lot of the matchup we're really waiting for that didn't materialize because of Derrick Henry was Lamar Jackson. Unbelievable MVP last year, just had an amazing, amazing year, and they were the prohibitive favorite going into the playoffs. John, I'm gonna go to you again. Where do you think Baltimore lines up? Do you put them as a 1A to the Chiefs? I'm sorry, a 1-1A kind of deal with the Chiefs, or do you think that playoff loss was more emblematic of the team as a whole, and they still have some work to do?
Yeah, besides Lamar Jackson, who's got to translate his regular season success to the playoff success, that he's got to take that big jump. But also, their defense wasn't as tough as it had been in their Super Bowl during their Super Bowl years. So, and plus they had some issues with Earl Thomas, and they had to let him go. So their defense isn't as dominant. And we'll see how their draft picks and their free agent acquisitions pick up. But otherwise, I just put them in the mix. And plus, with the Steelers, with Big Ben coming back, it's gonna be tougher. They're not gonna be able to roll through their division like they did last year. So there may be a couple more losses within the division. Plus, with Cleveland maybe improved, and with Cincinnati improved with Burrow, so they're not gonna have it easy. Rolling through that division this year on the way to 14-2, whatever.
Yeah, great point on the division, John. And that's a point I was going to make is the Chiefs division is weak, right? I mean, they almost look like a AFC East kind of deal, right? Where the Chiefs are just so far and away the best team in the division that they'll have it locked up by week 13 or something, but. Pittsburgh with Big Ben, and I do think Cleveland is going to be much improved this year, and I will probably regret the hell out of saying that, but I do. And then I think Burrow's the real deal. So that's like six at least somewhat difficult games for the Ravens, and then they're playing that first place schedule. So I think it's going to be I think they're very good. I think Lamar is going to have a lot of trouble, as he should, matching what he did last year. But, yeah. Senior, do you have anything to add on the Ravens there?
Yeah, the, you know, I mean, their regular season was great last year. And Lamar was unbelievable. I don't know if he – the question you have to ask about Lamar is can he continue to play exactly the way he did? Can he continue to run as much as he did? That's an interesting question, you know. They had a bad game in the playoffs. Henry was on a complete roll when he ran right through their defense, and Lamar didn't really get anything going on offense, but – maybe it's a team that just needs to, you know, he's very young. Maybe they need to mature, and maybe he can translate it to the playoffs next year. I really like the rookie running back that they added. I know he's being envisioned right now as a third down back, but I think he could have turned into an every down back. I really like Dobbins. I just happen to watch a lot of Ohio State games, and I thought he was the best running back in the country coming out of the draft, and he's explosive as hell. He gives them another guy who, anytime he touches the ball, can go all the way. And you know, you got Hollywood who runs like hell. So they've got a lot of nice toys on offense, and their defense isn't dominant, but it's good, and it's certainly their division is a lot tougher. You know, we keep saying Big Ben back with the Steelers, but also the Steelers' trademark right now, it might be like the old days. I mean, their defense is really, really good. So, and Cleveland's got a lot of talent, and Cincinnati's going to be better because, you know, and obviously Burrow's better than Dalton, and then they have some nice weapons to deal with. So, when the Ravens get to the playoffs, they're going to be tested by playing that schedule. They might not get the number one seed in the bye, but it might work well for them. So, I think they're definitely a threat. I would consider them the number two team in the AFC. And they may not have the number two record because of the division they play in, but they're the second best team in the AFC.
All right. So a little bit of an AFC preview there. We'll give our predictions a little later. Next thing I wanted to talk about was the Super Bowl runner-up, the Niners. So as I'm sure everyone's aware, the Super Bowl runner-up in general has not done very well the next season, with a lot of them missing the playoffs altogether. The Niners seem to be a little bit snake bit with a whole bunch of injuries coming into the season. They're in a weird division where it seems like the Rams got a little bit worse, but the Cardinals got a little bit better, and the Seahawks are obviously always a good team. So I'm in the camp that I think there's a chance the Niners like really fall off the face of the earth, like 6-10, 7-9 kind of deal, where it's just one of those, you know, similar to the last Kyle Shanahan team that lost in the Super Bowl. I believe they were under 500 the next year. John, what do you think about the Niners? Think I'm off base?
Nah, there's the losing Super Bowl team usually has a kind of a hangover. So maybe not as drastic as 7-9, but I could see them. I don't think the division is guaranteed for them. Like I could see them falling off to a 9-7 or a 10-6, maybe a wild card team. But they still got a strong defense, and plus with the Saleh, the coordinator, who surprisingly didn't get a head coaching gig, I think he's going to be a top candidate for a head coaching spot if his defense has another solid year. So we're gonna have to see. With the Ayuk they drafted this year, with these wide receivers that got drafted, there was about 20 wide receivers that everybody is calling that got drafted that everybody's claiming are going to make the Hall of Fame. So out of all these, this was the draft of the wide receivers. So out of all these wide receivers, you know, some of them are going to be busts, some of them are going to be great, and some of them there's going to be like a fourth rounder or something that nobody heard of that's going to turn out to be great. So it's going to be a wide mix. So who knows whether Ayuk turns out good for them, because they need another weapon because they lost Sanders. So
Debo Samuel's hurt. I mean, he's going to be back, but he is injured to start the year.
Yeah, they gave Kittle a big contract. He's going to be solid. He's not going to be a guy that's going to dog it, and he's going to want to live up to that contract. So They still got a solid team, so I don't see them falling off the cliff like that. But definitely the hangover mixed with the volatility of the stuff going on this season could drop them down to second place.
Yeah, or third. Senior, what do you think there?
Yeah, well, I think you know the to fall way off is hard when you have a great defense. So I think that really is their calling card. I think the loss of Emmanuel Sanders is fairly big. I think he was kind of that veteran presence in their receiving corps that they're not going to have at all this year. And the guy was a productive player for them. I mean, Kittle's an unbelievable player. We know that. But I think they were counting on Debo to really step up, and be the number one wide out this year, and him coming in injured really hurts them. And I feel this way, Raj. Even when they had all the pieces last year and they could have been the Super Bowl champ, I didn't think they had a Super Bowl quarterback, and I still don't. And I think he's middle of the road at best, and I think that's his ceiling, and it's gonna be hard to win a Super Bowl with him. I mean, he could have won it. I mean, what happened in that game. I mean, you're in that game. If you're the guy that's got the goods, you got to make that throw. That's the pressure throw. That's the one you got to make. And he gagged all over himself, and it didn't surprise me. So I think they'll be a good team, but I don't consider them a threat to get back to the Super Bowl.
Eli Manning makes that throw. Am I right, Sean? All day Eli Manning makes that throw.
May not have been a great career stats guy, but it's hard for me to say. But you got to give it to him. I mean, he played big in the game.
So there we go. I make a comment directed to John, and Senior has to jump right in with the little. Oh, maybe not great career stats, but he had two good games.
You didn't even give me a chance to answer. I would say in the Super Bowl, he makes that throw. Week six versus the Dolphins, he probably throws an interception. So.
Ah, that was great. Good stuff, guys. That's what we're here
for. Well said, John.
All right, and the last thing I want to talk about in the NFC before we move on to our prediction is in the NFC East, you're seeing, Deshaun Watson, Mahomes, yada, yada. You're seeing all the all the big quarterbacks get big deals, and the Cowboys are going the other way, not putting Prescott on the franchise tag, even though at least statistically he had a phenomenal year last year. And John, you're really plugged into the NFC East, and I know you're a fan of this Cowboys team, not a fan in the sense of you root for them, but I know that. You and me both last year kind of appreciated what they had from a talent perspective. How do you think this impacts Dak? Do you think it's a positive for him in that he's going to go out and try to prove his worth, or is he pissed off?
Nah, I think he knows he's going to get paid no matter what, whether it's by Dallas or when it comes down to it, there's going to be another team. I don't think the mental aspect is gonna take too much, but I think Dallas is just kind of playing it close, because the last couple of years, their offense has scored on anybody and they rolled on anybody, but in the big game they struggled, and maybe that was a reflection of the coach. So I think they're just waiting to see how he reacts to the new coaching staff. And if it's positive results, then he's going to get paid. Well, he's going to get paid no matter what, but it just remains to be seen whether it's by Dallas or another team.
Do you think they should have already paid him?
Oh, yes.
I do too. I think it's a similar situation to the Redskins the Washington football team with Cousins. Where, and then they eventually let him go. But like, if they franchise him, like if he just has another, like I just don't understand the point of franchising him. And maybe somebody who's smarter about the cap than me could tell me what the point is. But franchise him, you got to pay him. It's top five, right? The average of the top five or whatever it is. So he's making a shitload of money anyway, right? On the franchise tag.
Yeah, and, I think like 34. I think 34 million.
And under what scenario are they not going to pay him? Do you know what I mean? Like it's. Like, it's not like there's any other quarterbacks really available who are even close to his level, right? So, you like, if you're the Cowboys, you can't let him walk. You just can't. Like, there's, what are you going to do? You have to pay him. It's just like, you know, like the every year somebody else is the new highest paid quarterback, right? Because it's just their turn. Like, it was Matthew Stafford at one point. Is Matthew Stafford the best quarterback in the league? No, but he's probably top 14 or whatever, and there's nobody better. You got to pay him, right? And Dallas has, you know, has been completely loaded because Dak was making $500,000 or whatever it was on his rookie deal. And I mean, I think he proved it last year. I know that the team didn't perform particularly well. I think some of that was the coach, like you said, John. But he has improved every year he's been in the league, and he was really, really good for them last year. So I think it's like makes Jones look like a like kind of a cheapskate or like he does like he's not sold on him. And to me, when you got a guy like that, he's clearly a top 12 quarterback in the league. Clearly, 100%. You just pay the guy. What do you think, Senior?
Yeah, I completely agree. I guess the only counter argument you can make is what you just said, all the talent they surrounded him with. I mean, if you look at that offense, look at the weapons. I mean, the offensive line may not be the super duper most dominant offensive line in football like they used to be, but they're still really good. And you know, loaded at receiver. You got the guy who could hit a top four or five running back in the league. Maybe the counter argument is he should have won more. The biggest Cowboy person I know, I saw happen to see a few weeks ago, Scott. He wasn't saying they should pay him not. He said, before you're going to get that kind of money, with the team we put behind you, you got to win in the playoffs. You got to show me you can win in the playoffs. So that's the only counter argument. But all the points you made are true. I mean, what would they do? What would they do if they let him walk? Would they want to be like what the used to be Redskins Washington football team has turned into when they let Cousins go and you just can't find a quarterback? You know, they're hard to come by. And eventually, I guess the Cowboys want to play their way down to where they'd be the team in position to get Trevor Lawrence next year, you know, 4 or 5 years from now. I don't think so. You're the Cowboys. You're not that kind of organization. So you really can't let them walk. I don't see the point in it. But playing devil's advocate, that really is the only counter argument is, Zach, we've surrounded you with all this. Every year we look like this team that could go to the Super Bowl and we can't win in the playoffs. I'm not saying it's his fault, but that's the counter argument.
So why did Houston extend Watson? No playoff wins, right? Does he? I mean, blew that game, I guess, right? Couldn't keep up with Mahomes. It's a stupid argument. I mean, I hate to say it, but it is. It's a stupid argument. It's not.
I'm not saying it was legit. I'm saying that is the counter argument. No, it's the only thing you can come up with, but. Like you said, and like I'm saying, yeah. What do you do if you don't sign him? There's another plan, fine. But what could possibly be the other plan?
Right. Yeah, Jameis Winston or Newton, I guess. Right? I mean, that's it.
Yeah, unless they have somebody else specifically in mind that they think can take them to that next level, but there isn't.
Can't imagine who it could be. Yeah.
If you're just relying on another team to, you know, to release like you said, a Newton or a Winston, it's.
Yeah, any quarterback that hits the open market like that is going to be not as good as Dak Prescott or have some type of giant red flag, which is why they're on the open market, right? Like Winston.
Exactly,
I mean, Winston has a lot of positives, but, I mean, the guy just, you know, I like him more than most. Machine. But, yeah. I mean he's like beyond a turnover machine. He's got, you know, I mean, he ended the season on a pick six. Right, and it was the most fitting fucking ending in the history of the NFL. And then Cam, like, it's an injury thing. I mean, do we want an injured, a guy who's like this huge injury risk?
Yeah. And they're not going to say screw you to a Dak for like a Rivers, like somebody like at the tail end for like a 1 or 2 year run. Yeah, they're not going to do that. So
it's like these guys are all going to get paid is what it comes down to. Anybody who's an above average quarterback, right? They have to. I mean, Cousins is a great example. Cousins isn't great. But, I mean, he's serviceable, right? He's serviceable, and he made a shitload of money because there's just not a lot of them.
Matthew Stafford, too.
Yeah, we said Stafford. Yeah. And then you got the younger guys are going to come up. Josh Allen. Josh Allen is going to make a shitload of money next year or the year after, right? And that crew. So, I think, and I mean, if I were him, I would be pissed off. But we'll see. We'll see if that manifests itself, if he can, you know, play it out for a year. Because, I mean, to me, it would be like the franchise doesn't care about my long-term security. I've played for fucking peanuts for them, and now it's time to pay me, and they're paying everybody but me, right? They gave Cooper that huge extension, and then...
Yep.
Another one. There was another huge extension too, and the person is
DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah, there it is. DeMarcus Lawrence, a massive extension, but not your quarterback. And I mean, Cooper and Lawrence are great players.
They paid Zeke last year,
right? Yeah, and Zeke.
Last year they paid Zeke.
Which that was after they hardballed them too. So
yeah, and I mean, at least with the running back, you can kind of understand it, you know. But
yeah.
All right, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's that time. So we're gonna do our predictions. So we're gonna do in each conference. We need, to John's point, we need division winners. We need 3 wild cards, and then I think for the sake of not putting everybody to sleep, we just name our Super Bowl and our Super Bowl champion. Does that work for you guys?
Yes, sir.
And then after that, I'm gonna do MVP and maybe comeback player of the year if you guys want to. So we'll start in the AFC East. Senior, you can go first in the AFC East.
Okay, that'll take a second. Patriots.
All right, you know, Senior, why don't you just knock through the whole AFC for us? I think that'll be easier.
Okay, East Patriots, North Ravens, South Titans, West Chiefs.
Very chalky. All right. for the AFC,
I'm the old guy. I'm supposed to be conservative.
I'm going to say East Patriots, North Pittsburgh, South Houston, West Chiefs. John.
Damn, man. I hate to do it, but I would feel more confident about the pick if the Pats have that where they can plug in guys on their defense. Even though guys like Hightower opted out, their system is just made for where they could plug in guys. I hate to do it. I got to go. I'm going with the Pats, and I'm going with the Steelers. And the Colts, I think, even though I have not been a fan of Phillip Rivers, I think he's going to rejuvenate that Colts team for a division run. And the Chiefs, of course. And the wild card will be the Bills, and the Ravens, and the Browns are going to grab the third wild card.
Christ. So well, I thought about the Colts, John. I thought about the Colts when I said the Texans, but I decided that. I think Rivers is completely washed up, and I think he's gonna bounce back. I think he's Jameis Light with the turnovers now. That's just me. I might be wrong.
Yeah,
but
that was
actually,
awful year.
You know one thing. I mean, Roger knows I've always liked Rivers for one thing, but I watched him San Diego games last year. That offensive line played like a sieve in front of him. I mean, he's not a kid. That's the one thing he's getting. He's going to be playing behind a very, very good offensive line, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him have a really good year. I'd be kind of happy for him if he did, because I really like the guy. I think he's a great leader. So
Yeah, I'm got.
That's going to be a lot better. Not taking a beating every week at his age is going to feel a lot better.
Yeah, he really had a bad year. I think he still got a little in the tank because a lot of those throws were on him. They weren't just on the line. They were you know, his lack of arm strength. But I just think a rejuvenation under I think Reich is a good coach for the Colts. So that's my thing there.
I think their best bet is to hand off a lot behind that offensive line, which is what I think. Yeah. Which is what I think they'll do.
Yes, Mac, and they'll have Taylor. A solid running game with Mac
Taylor
and Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, the rookie. Yeah. So John, I have the same wild cards as you, sadly.
The Browns?
Yeah. Buffalo, Baltimore, and the Browns. So we're boring. Great minds think alike. Like,
I don't know,
Calvin, if you're listening, load up on the Browns, baby. You know, if me and John are on it, that means it's a winner. And
I don't know about that. We're dissing the Titans, and we're dissing the Titans in the wild card. But
I hate Tannehill.
We'll see.
I think he sucks.
Yeah,
I think
okay.
I mean, and I think so. I hate to say it like that. I don't hate him personally. I just think he's a. I just don't think he's a real like a good quarterback. And I think they. I think they just like the history with the running backs who get worked like that. Like the number of carries Henry had last year, the next year is just not good. So I think he's going to go down, and I think he's like their whole team. So I think that they're in trouble.
Same thing with Buffalo. A lot of people are picking the Bills for the division, but Allen is a tough call. He's really kind of a polarizing quarterback. He makes some throws where he looks like he doesn't belong on in the league. But then again, the next play he'll make a play with his feet where he's dazzling. So.
And
he's kind of hit or miss. It's tough there.
He does. I mean, he's got his arm is ridiculous. He's got a cannon and adding Diggs. I mean, they have two like real legit deep threats for him. So I think the recipe for them is to lean on the defense, run the ball a lot, and try to hit a few shot plays every game with those two guys.
Brown and Diggs and Beasley. That's a nice trio there.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Senior, who are your wild cards?
Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Indy.
Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Indy. All right, so we have a similar playoff teams. You guys both have the Texans missing the playoffs.
Oh yeah.
I think in spite of Bill O'Brien's putrid personnel decisions, I think Watson's too good. I think Watson's too good. I think it's a. Even though O'Brien consistently trades a dollar for two nickels and a penny, it's
I'm not defending the move, but they still even getting rid of Hopkins, they got Cooks back in there, and they still got a solid receiving corps. So of course it's nowhere near as what it would be with Hopkins in there. But
part of it they obviously didn't want to pay Hopkins. Has to be a big part of it. But it looks real bad that guys like Fournette and Devontae Freeman, and there was another one, a running back, like that. Like they could have just kept Hopkins and paid Fournette nothing, and just had the two of them instead of David Johnson's huge contract.
Not the trade. Yeah, they could have got somebody else, or somebody on defense or another pick instead of taking Johnson. Yeah,
right.
That's the
point.
But, especially considering those two guys worked so well together, you know.
Right.
When you have a receiver and a quarterback that have had that kind of rapport for a few years.
I think
no sense to break it up.
Hopkins is a great receiver.
I really love
Deshaun Watson. I think he's like one of the three best quarterbacks in the league. I think he's going to take another step forward this year. And it's not like he's got nothing around him. I mean, you know, Cooks and Will Fuller are both good receivers. And then, you know, they have a decent defense. We'll see. That division's always a toss-up anyway. All right, moving on to the NFC. I'll go first this time. Dallas, so they can break my heart again. Dallas, out of the NFC East. I'm going to say Minnesota, out of the NFC North. New Orleans, out of the NFC South. And Seattle, in the NFC West. With my wild cards being Chicago, Seattle, I'm sorry, Chicago, Arizona, and Tampa Bay. John, you can go next.
All right. Cowboys in the East, Packers in the North, Saints in the South, the West the Seahawks, and the wild cards will be the Bucks, the Niners, and the Eagles.
All right. A little more chalky that time, John. A little more chalky. Dad.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Cowboys, Green Bay, St. Louis. Well, L.A. now. They're not St. Louis anymore. The Rams. The Saints. Wild Cards. Philly. 49ers and Seahawks.
Nah, no Giants, damn.
Talk about the Rams, senior, because that I think that's a pretty wild pick. I think they're going to finish last in that division. I think they like gutted their whole team and the league's figured out the McVay offense. That's just my take.
He acts as a coordinator.
Okay, yeah, I think they're going to be good.
Like, I mean, to me, like, I think they mismanaged their cap pretty badly, so they. Basically, I think they're paying Gurley and Cooks, like, what is it, like 20-something million combined to not play for them this year?
Donald and Goff got all the money. Yeah.
Goff is good, but it's the NFL. Anything's possible.
Not, how much is he going to miss Cooks? I mean, I'm not saying Cooks wasn't good, but they got good wideouts.
I mean, they didn't replace Cooks. They replaced Cooks with Van Jefferson, the rookie. And then... I mean, Gurley. I mean, it's just
Brock Ward and Cooper Kupp in the slot. Gurley wasn't what he used to be anymore.
But I mean, I'm saying with those guys, they went 9-7.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't know. I might, you know, who? It's year to year. You never know. That's just my. I mean, I picked the Cardinals to make the playoffs, so I can. You know, the way their defense was last year, I know that's a tough pick to defend. I feel like there's at least a chance that Kyler Murray makes like that Lamar Jackson-esque leap, and I'm basing that pick on the defense. They have some good pieces on the defense in Chandler Jones and Buda Baker and Patrick Peterson, and that those guys, some of the younger guys, improve. And that a big basis of my pick is I think the Niners and the Rams are both going to be shitty, and so that's going to be lead to some easier wins for the Cards.
The other one, Rod, is I don't know if you could parlay two teams to make the playoffs. You probably get pretty long odds on both Arizona and the Bears in the playoffs.
Oh, I really like the
Chicago.
I think Green Bay overachieved big time last year. Like, it just the eye test. I thought they just really weren't as good as their record, and I think it kind of proved out in that NFC title game. I think the stuff with Rodgers is going to be a detriment to the team. So I think that I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And the Bears, it's a defense pick. I think their defense is really, really good. I would feel better about them if Foles had just won the job right out of camp. But I think he'll be their quarterback by week 3 or 4. I think Trubisky's awful and really has really held back a team that should be a playoff team every year, if not for him. And I think they're good enough to go 10-6 just based on their defense.
There you go. Okay. You made your point.
All right, guys. So
I'd be shocked to see them in the playoffs, but
it's just. And I always, and a lot of times we're wrong about this stuff. I think I picked Carolina to go to the Super Bowl last year. And it's just, in the NFL, you know, there's always going to be a couple of teams, right, that come from nowhere to make
That's
the
right.
playoffs. Like, I mean, the Niners. The Niners.
Giants,
yeah, the Giants. I mean, no. Not completely out of it. I mean, I think that's a little far-fetched, John. I mean, just because. They're another one. Like, if you look at their skill guys, they're all right, but it's just such a mess in the trenches. I think they need a year or two to improve there.
Definitely.
But, like, Detroit's another team, I mean, that conceivably could get a lot better. And in the AFC, in the AFC, I hate to say it, but like Denver and the Raiders, I think would be like, other than Cleveland. I think a lot of people think Cleveland could be better, but like both Denver and the Raiders at least have the makeup where you could kind of see them putting something together. But I mean, the Niners were what, 4-12 2 years ago, and then made the Super Bowl last year. Not a lot of people were picking that, right?
No, crazy things happen. Yep.
All right, guys.
Yeah, things change in football. It's not like basketball and stuff. Things
and then, like, quickly. Like, I mean, what we're seeing in the NBA with this lack of home court advantage is that funky shit happens even more, right? Like, I mean, we're watching it right now with the Nuggets are giving the Clippers everything they want when it looks like on paper the Clippers should just destroy them. I mean, the Heat went up 3-0. Like, it's the lack of a home field advantage, I think, is going to make things even more weird. So you could have some weird stuff. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely. And weird things happen anyway in football. It just happens. You're right. Like, the Niners were a good example. It's not unusual for a team to go from under 500 to being a playoff team.
And
in 1 year.
Injuries too. You never know who's what big quarterback's gonna bite it. You know.
Yeah, that's right. That one injury cripples you. That's right.
All right, guys, give me your Super Bowl and the champion. John, you can go first.
I'm going Steelers and the Saints, and the Saints. Drew Brees is gonna retire a Super Bowl champ.
All right. Nice. Senior.
Well, I come close to that, John. I've got Drew Brees retiring as a Super Bowl runner-up. Ravens take that stride this year. Don't ask me for a real logical reason why I'm picking it against the Chiefs. It's just really hard to repeat, and something happens where they don't repeat, and the Ravens make that step. Lamar makes the step and becomes a playoff quarterback, and Ravens over Saints.
All right, I will say. I will say, one of these years this is going to happen, but I'm going to say Cowboys over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Oh, come on. What a nightmare.
I like them this year. I do
like McCarthy over Garrett.
Definitely. And I mean, that roster is so talented that it sucks me in, and it's just like they're just built so perfect to beat one of these high scoring teams with that, you know, with their running game and just keeping them off the field. Like, you know, like I could see them just walk, like I could see them beating the Saints, and I could see them beating the Chiefs. So
that's tough. Pick. Honestly, their defense, Sean Lee is a big part of their defense, and he's got to play the 5 or 6 games towards the playoffs, the end of the year.
So they should just sit him until then. All right.
Pretty much.
All right, NFL MVP real quick, guys. Senior. We might have lost Senior. He was going Mahomes anyway, I think.
Nothing.
Lamar Jackson. Lamar.
Backup MVP. Okay, so back-to-back MVPs for Lamar. And then we got a Mahomes from John. And then I'll be the contrarian. I'll say Russell Wilson.
There we go.
All right, gents. So we got one in the books here. Hope everyone enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed doing it. I can promise you that our technical snafus will be fixed for next week. So please tune in. And I think I hear Senior's dogs in the background. So that is a great way to end the show. So for Senior and John, I'm the Cowboy. Senior's got a puppy to hug, so he can do that. I'm gonna watch the end of the Nuggets Clippers game here, and we'll be back next week. Everybody enjoy Week 1.
Yes, red zone, baby.
Red zone, baby. Senior.
Football. Football. Woo! Football. It's back.